Welcome to the Minority Report with your hosts, Isaiah, Terrence, and Damon. And now, over to you, Isaiah.
Hey guys, welcome to back to the Minority Report, episode 5. Somehow we made it to Adepticon alive. I didn't finish all my painting, so I have to work on that, guys. Damon, how you doing?
I'm good, man. First day champions.
Did you win it?
I'm here on time. I'm not playing, but I did go 1-1, and as you know, in this format, it's best to go shopping afterwards. So
that is true. And for all the listeners, I have happy news. Terrence isn't here. I'm sorry. He's currently playing still in the champions event.
Wow.
He is 3-1.
Savage.
That's how we roll.
That's how we roll. But we are hoping that, you know, he gets 4-1, and, you know, he has a chance of breaking it up there. So all hopes to Terrence that he kicks butt and takes names.
Actually, you're the only one hoping that. If you guys did not catch the savage voice.
Savage to him, man. The poor man's over there fighting for his life right now.
Man, I was going to say the soothing voice, but I guess savage voice is there too. But I'm the savage here, let's be honest here.
We are being graced by the great and only one, the gumbo eaten.
Gotta love gumbo.
Crazy.
The bee's knees.
Lost a whole half of himself, William Hungerford.
Hey, everybody, how's it going?
Welcome to the podcast. Somehow we got you on here after 5 episodes. I think this is the record of anyone. We win, guys, we win.
Yeah.
So... Hungerford, how are you doing here at Adepticon?
Good, man. Like, I love this show. This is, I've always said, like, if I wasn't in the industry, this is a show I would come to on my own dime.
I agree.
There's, like, a good vibe. Everything's really well run, and it's just fun. The vendor hall isn't, like, too crowded. Like, there's a constant, like, it's busy, but, like, you don't feel crushed, right? I can go in there and, like, shop around. And the same thing for all the events. You can go in and just, like, chill, talk to people, have a good time. And it's, like, it's Chicago area, right? So there's good food in the around.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. It feels so much calmer than Gen Con. It's like I can come here and breathe and still have fun and not be rubbed up against every 5 million people.
It's like Gen Con to me reminds, like, I love Gen Con. Gen Con to me reminds me of Disney World in the middle of summer. Like, I'm going to have a good time, but there's a lot of people and there's a lot going on. And Adepticon reminds me of Disney World in, like, September. Like, I can go kind of do the things I like at a slower pace and enjoy myself. And, like, they both have their merits sometimes. But, like, I have to be in the mindset for Gen Con, right? Like, go, go, go. Let's get ready. And there's just so much stuff. I'm like, I want to see this. I want to do that, you know. But Adepticon, when I'm feeling just more relaxed like I am right now, this is my show.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Just in case you guys didn't know, Hungerford's a big Disney fan, right?
Oh, I'm a huge Disney fan, man.
He's up here dropping Disney analogies over.
I'm like, look. Like, we're here for Warmer Horse. He's like, look, guys, I'm talking Disney for the next 20 minutes.
Man, so Star Wars Land opens this year.
We're going.
Be there.
We are going.
I'm trying to decide if I'm going to, because it opens earlier in Disneyland, it opens in Disney World. And I'm trying to decide which one I'm going to go to first and how many months I want to give it before I go. Because you know the crowds when Star Wars lands, it's gonna be absurd.
Crowd, I'm sorry, sir. It's gonna be a stampede.
Yeah.
Let's be honest about this here. If you are not in the first one, you will be the first one to die.
Of course, you gotta be careful because Disney security is no joke.
Oh, this is true. All kids are on the side, so they will at least live through the stampede.
Yeah.
And then everyone else, you're
gonna get carried away by the wave.
The wave.
I kind of hope this podcast turns into us just talking about Disney stuff for like the next 15, 20 minutes. That's all we do. People are like, I heard there was going to be stuff about War Machine. Nope.
Wrong. Podcast. There's no all Terrence and it's all Disney, guys. This is the greatness.
So let's dive in, Homer.
Yep.
You know, I know what I'm dying to ask now. I'm going to hold it, though. I'm going to hold it.
So
go ahead, Isaiah.
All right. So you guys announced the plans for this upcoming year with what's coming on. And then you guys announced the happiest thing since Apotheosis, you announced the campaign book.
Yeah.
I have been dying for this. I have loved running the campaigns in my store. Our guys love it. I love talking about it. I love the lore. I own all the books. Yes! Thank you for finally doing this.
Of course, yeah.
You understand? Like, I scream like a 2-year-old girl running throughout my entire, like, I have a campaign book again! I was so happy.
So, I mean, how much do you know about the campaign that's in the book?
I don't know too much, because I know I started reading about it the other day, actually just catching up on it, you know, with the Oblivion CID, what's going on, with the Infernos coming out, you know, and I even read up on my Monstronomicon, on all the history and everything else, so I am ready to see what's going to happen.
So I'll tell you what's going on. So what it's going to be a box set called Oblivion, War Machine Oblivion. So it's not just a book. You get a box with a bunch of stuff in it. You get the campaign book. So in that is the lore of the Infernals, where they come from, why are they here. Then it'll have old school original like model entries for all the Infernals, like we used to see in the anthology books, like in Wrath and Domination and stuff like that, as well as a bunch of models nobody even knows is coming yet. That's basically the people that are fighting against Infernals. And we've hinted at a few of them, and if you saw the cover that we showed, the art, everybody saw an Archon, people know Archons are coming.
Constance. Yeah.
Yeah, you see Constance on the cover fighting Amademos like toe to toe.
Oh, you're almost like, this is going to get hot, guys.
So in that, and then the kind of the back end of the book is the Oblivion campaign system. So I just finished actually designing it, and what it is it's meant for 2 to 4 people to play, like at your house.
Ooh, okay.
You can play it for, I'd say probably 3 to 6 weeks is probably the recommended time. Everybody plays through a prologue, and the prologue starts off with you, no warcasters, just literally a few units and a few solos. And this is you playing sort of the intro. Like, it has a storyline, like the Infernals are starting to show up, people are starting to act weird, and it builds a storyline to it. Then everybody splits into teams, basically you're pro-Infernal or you're anti-Infernal. Whether or not you know you are, the idea is like a faction could be manipulated into working for the Infernals and not realize the Infernals are doing that to them. And it gives you story hooks of why everything might work out. So then you all funnel to a single scenario, and then as every player plays, they have their own campaign track with branching scenarios. And if they win or lose their games, it says where they go next on the track. And every player has their own unique storyline that they play through with everyone else, that things may get better for them, they may get worse for them, depending on if they lose all their games, win all their games. And every game's a scenario that's not like just a straight steamroller take and hold. You might end up playing where like a Morrowind church is being invaded and set on fire and you've got to protect it or try and destroy it. Or maybe your troops are so beat up, you have to go steal for supplies. So you end up so far on the track that you go like try and rob a bank in a town and stuff like that. Or go rob a medical train, whatever it might be. There's tons of different combinations. At the end of it, it all funnels back into a single finale event where everybody in the campaign plays one giant mega battle, and you've got benefits based on how well you did along your individual storyline that apply to that final battle, which is the Infernals arriving and how you deal with it. The cool thing about the system is it's broken into here's how you run the Oblivion campaign system, and then here's the first campaign. We're going to release more campaigns in the future that you can plug into this system, and it provides you a new tree of scenarios and a new experience every single time you play. The other cool thing is the box set comes with a deck of cards called Omen Cards. And as you play, these are cards that let you mess with the portents and omens of the Infernals coming and get special effects every game that will be beneficial to you and can really mess with your opponent sometime. They might be simple, like when you roll to see who goes first, roll 2 dice, choose the dice you want. That's a simple one. That's a very simple one. One's called like it's like crossed miscommunicated orders or something like that, where you're messing with the other person's deployment. Where after they deploy, you get to force them to redeploy different units, and they can't deploy where they were within a range. So you got to be like, this unit can't be within 9 inches of was redeploy. There's one where like nobody can AD, and anybody that was in ambush has to ambush immediately. Like, everyone just jumps out on the table. And then it even gets weirder. There's some, like, weather effects and stuff like that.
I want this now.
It's really fun. The way I designed it on purpose was that if y'all both played it.
Right.
And played, say, a 3-week campaign and finished it, you could start again immediately from scratch and have a different experience the second time because of where your scenario tree might lead you. You might have a completely different storyline you didn't even see the first time, and you might get totally different omen cards that make it different.
Okay, so we need. Sorry, I need this now.
Like yesterday, it's funny, Homegiver. I don't know if you. Well, I know you saw the post. Someone was talking about SteamRoller 2019.
Yeah.
And you put a meme on there, taking notes,
uh-huh.
Listening. And one of the people says like they want more story based scenario campaign type stuff. And listen, we got it.
Guys.
And that's we do want to keep SteamRoller strictly the competitive format.
And that's fair.
And it's meant to be like a lot of the scenarios in Oblivion are asymmetrical. SteamRoller is symmetrical tournament based play. Mm-hmm. And because of that desire, that's what Oblivion is going to feed people, right? It's going to feed that need for narrative casual play where you get to tell your story the way you want to tell it.
That sounds amazing. I want it now.
It's not even at print yet. So if I can't vamp it into existence, man.
Work with me. Work. We'll talk business.
If this was Umbrella Academy and that was my power, I would do it for you.
Awesome. Yes.
Oh my God, that'd
what
be great.
What a great series. We digress. Yeah. So this is a great segue. So, Sea Roller 2019.
Yeah.
What can you share?
We will be doing a CID for it. The Infernal CID just ended. The next CID is the Oblivion CID. That will not touch the narrative campaign. We're not CIDing that. What it's going to touch is all the other models in that book that are not Infernals.
Okay.
So, for example, the box that I was talking about, it's got that book, it's got the cards, it's got the Hermit of Hingehold model. It's a model that almost everybody can use. It's basically like a mad prophet who's gone insane because the Infernals are coming and he knows they're coming. And so they'll get to use that model. And then it's got the deck of cards. The other thing it has is a revised rules digest. Everybody's getting the rule book right now in the battle boxes, right? Things have changed on a few different key points. And also, there's just a little cleanup on a few things we wanted to do, which I can't announce just yet.
Right.
But there will be some changes that are not just stuff that you've seen like via errata. So that new rule book is going to be... I don't want people to think it's a remix or anything like that. You're going to see some changes, and some of we'll point them out to everybody. But that box set will have all that. So you got the two books, the deck of cards, and the miniature.
I hate to make a Charles Collins comment, but I will kiss you right now.
Oh, when you said a Charles Collins comment, I was like, is this about to be an R-rated podcast?
Like, thank you. Oh my God. We've been kind of needing a nice rule of digest.
Yeah, it needs to be cleaned up, right? But to answer your question about Steamroller 2019, so after the Oblivion CID,
okay,
the Steamroller 2019 CID will come then.
Okay.
People should expect minor changes. Don't look for a major overhaul. Some scenario tweaks, some general gameplay tweaks, a few things that people have been asking for. But the current Steamroller is in a pretty good spot. There's a couple. We've got a lot of feedback on a lot of the scenarios. And Mirage, obviously, has gotten a lot of feedback. It's not as bad. Like, Mirage is really polarizing. Some people really like it. Some people don't. But it's not like Linebreaker back in 2016, almost caused riots.
We don't talk about, guys, for people who don't know, we don't talk about Linebreaker at all. It's like Fight Club. Don't talk about it.
But, like, Mirage, I've seen a lot of people say, like, what if we take the middle flag out? Well, we tested it without the middle flag, and it's funny, just taking that single flag out, that scenario goes from live to just one of the deadest scenarios we've seen. So maybe Mirage goes away. Maybe Mirage gets replaced. Or, you know, we're considering a few different things, right? I know a lot of people have said maybe you need 6 more CPs than your opponent, than 5 to win on scenario, to push things. And so everyone's going to get a chance to test the changes we're thinking about doing.
Okay.
Let us know after a year's worth of experience with the current packet that'll all apply to the new packet.
Okay.
And we'll go from there. There were some bigger sweeping changes that had been in consideration, but with Oblivion coming, it was too much. We didn't want to do this huge change to Steamroller and then have Oblivion follow it, which is going to have its own stuff going on.
Right.
It's the reason why Steamroller, when Mark III dropped, you didn't see a big change to Steamroller then. It's because, like, we try to be careful about massive ways when you change the way people play with, like, this narrative thing being introduced and then a massive tournament change. There's just so much turmoil you want to introduce. And so let's let the narrative campaign in Oblivion have its moment to shine. Let's tighten Steamroller and keep it the best it can be, but it doesn't need a complete reinvention.
So one thing that you said last year at 2018 Steamroller, and I bookmarked this, man. I swear I wish I had it in quotations. You said if there was certain things that you wanted to do terrain-wise that they told you no.
Sure.
Yeah. Any of that?
No. So I would like to at some point introduce new types of terrain. That are for Steamroller seasons.
Okay,
I like that.
That's been asked for a while. You know, because we got the core book. We've been playing with forests and hills and trenches for and shallow water for so long. But there's rules.
2004.
Exactly.
It hasn't changed.
There's rules to use your own terrain in the book. Like, people can bring their own piece, but nobody ever does. One way to introduce it is to use some in Steamroller, right? Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen this year.
Okay.
It's something I want to see happen in the future, and it would require a lot of testing, but just ways to mix up the battlefield a little bit.
Absolutely.
And we wouldn't want it to be a narrative thing necessarily. We want it to just be functional pieces of terrain. This is the kind of stuff you'd find in your store that is not being played right now that we can get some use out of. We're not looking like the old school objectives where they had like rules and could attack and all that kind of crazy stuff. Just something that's as good as a wall or a trench or a forest that people would find useful.
But something that's also interesting that'll still make, you know, the tables more interesting, people see more things live.
Right.
You know, be more interactive, because that's the biggest thing. Especially when designing, you know, putting up a table. I feel that a table should be a major part of the game. You know,
it should
make a decision, especially, you know, like going first or going second. know, maybe going second so you pick the side that works best for you is important instead of just going first all the time.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah, I definitely feel that, and I agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, how many games of War Machine have taken place on a grassy field somewhere with a couple trenches, right? Yeah. Like, there's
not in my place. I make weird tables, and the guys are like, absolutely, we don't like it, but we love it because it's different.
Right. And I would love to just see a few little different things we can do. So.
Well, so you brought up the upcoming Bolivian CID.
Yep.
So my question on the Bolivian CID is, I know it was some blurbs were talked about changes to themes, mm-hmm, you know, to help fight the Infernos. Now, is this just in general like a theme that's being changed to fight the Infernos? So like Marwyns, because we, you know, we were talking about the Marwyns, the fight against them. Or is there maybe like touches to other themes that help them against Infernos?
There's going
to
be some more than one theme.
Okay.
I can't go too deep into that, but everyone's going to see those major, like the brand new themes. Like, everyone got their sneak peek at Heart of Darkness, which got pulled from the Infernal CID basically immediately.
I wonder why.
Yeah, but there are new themes coming that are a little bit outside the normal design space box, and okay, they'll be in the Oblivion CID.
Okay.
So you saw there's basically the Corrupt Army one, which was Hearts of Darkness.
Right.
Like, take these people with Infernals. You can imagine there's at least going to be one that is the reverse of that.
Yep.
But there's also going to be some other stuff I don't think people are expecting.
Okay. Yeah. So speaking of the Infernal CID, what the changes made. So, seeing, you know, the Grimkin CID, the Krugel CID with the new factions coming out,
mm-hmm,
Infernal CID was very interesting on people's responses and feelings about it, as you saw. There were some highs and lows, and, you know, how quick changes were being made, testing done, and mm-hmm, just trying to get it all done at once. And, you know, it was a headache for some. So what did you guys learn from that? Like, was this something that you guys will do again with the next upcoming faction? Can we guys maybe make it a little longer?
The one thing we learned is, so I think we ended up in a good spot overall. We knew that summoning was going to be incredibly difficult to balance, right? And we've playtested, I legitimately want to say, probably a dozen or more versions of summoning over the last couple years with the Infernals. I think where we ended up at is a good spot. And I think what we learned, it was unfortunate that we couldn't run this CID longer. We wanted to, but because of basically the timelines of when things are coming out, when things are going to print, when production is occurring, we couldn't. Then you also had, I was out at Gamma, now we're at Adepticon. The whole dev team is here at Adepticon right now, and that's a whole week out of the office that we don't have. If Adepticon didn't happen this week, the Infernal CID would probably still be happening. But it couldn't, because we're not around.
Right.
So I think the thing we learned is more time is better. We saw it with the Grimkin one, right? The Grimkin one went 6 weeks, I think, and we could have used 6 weeks on the Infernals. It's just the unfortunate truth is we didn't have it.
Right.
So... yeah, and when we can, we'll make it longer, but we have to get right into Oblivion, then we have to get right into Steamroller.
This is the year where...
And then we got more Mon Pok and more... And then we have Riot Quest launching this year, which is a ton of stuff coming out for Riot Quest. So this is just a very big 2019 for us.
Oh, yeah. Which is hot, man. You know, I can't even talk enough about Mon Pok. I'm so happy that you guys revitalized, rebuilt, restarted, whatever you want to put on it.
Yeah, it's been huge, and it's been really blowing up lately. Like, people are starting to, like, really get back into it.
And it's crazy. Like, I'm not going to lie. So at my store, Pandemonium, Garden City, so we never really had any Mon Pok players. But all of a sudden, we got the new stuff in, but we can't keep it in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're like, hold on, there were no original Mon Pok players outside of maybe two, and all of a sudden, there's nothing on the shelves for like a month? Where are you people coming from? Play War Machine, please!
It's crazy, man. Kaiju is just a really popular genre, and especially with like the new Godzilla movies and stuff coming out, it's just getting even more like, I think, broad appeal. People are seeing it. Like, people that may have not watched those old school movies now have these kind of movies coming out that are getting them interested in the giant monster genre again. And when we're running events, it's really cool because we're seeing people of all ages playing, more so than you see in War Machine. We have our younger kids that play War Machine for sure, but we see way more younger kids playing Mon Pok. And I think there's just something like, a child might look at War Machine and be like, oh, there's like scary like monsters and stuff like that. But with Mon Pok, you look at it, it's just giant robots and giant lizards and Martians and stuff like that. Like, it's superhero stuff, right? And they love that.
And they love that. They eat that up.
And I also, War Machine is a deep, deep strategic game, right?
Oh, yeah.
And there are younger audiences that's, it's a difficult game sometimes, right? And I think Mon Pok is the perfect game for them to go to because it's quite easy to pick up and play.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. There's levels for experienced players who do like the tactical, strategic part of the game. There are levels to that game where it can be pretty deep.
When you played the top-end tables at a tournament, we were watching the tournament today here on the opening Mon Pok tournament, like, they were... making, I was watching their moves, and I was like, okay, there's only one right move here. And then every time they were kind of counting their spaces out, and then they were making them, right? Because, like, the one thing I do like about Mamapak, like some board games, often there's a variety of moves, and then sometimes there's the right move.
Right.
And being able to spot the sort of the XY axis of where, if this monster goes here and throws you here, and my other monster was standing here, I can throw you here.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to throw you through three buildings in one turn and take you out. Like, and just being able to see that combination occur, that's, I think that's one of the joys of competitive Mampok.
Yeah, so I have to get my first demo with Agatha later today. So I'm the noob in the Mampok.
And she just won the tournament.
What?
Yeah, Agatha.
Agatha?
All right.
Yeah, Aggie just won.
Okay, we're getting Agatha. We're definitely getting Agatha this weekend. We're going to make it, guys.
Yeah.
So
we just had a crush hour, and we had an 11-year-old playing. And, I mean, the little kid was kicking butt.
Oh.
So just the piggyback on what Homer, I mean, it truly is a game for all ages.
It is.
That's awesome.
And so talking about crush hour, so the Crush Hour kits, when we made those, we were like, okay, we don't want to do patches and pins. We want something that players can use.
Yeah.
So we did the alternate corporate HQ. We did the PPHQ. The idea was that it's a trophy that you can go and use, but more importantly, you want to go win more tournaments because you can use multiple buildings. So if you win three Mampok tournaments, you don't end up with the same prize over and over again and be like, oh, I've got three whatever.
Right.
I've got three things I can legitimately use. We're going to have a contest coming up soon. It's for retailers. The winner, we're going to make their store into a building for Crush Hour.
Okay, I'm testing the game cave right now.
Pandemonium. I need all you guys. Together. We got this.
And the idea is if the actual physical location of the store makes a good model, then we'll use the actual what it looks like in real life.
Right.
But say it's a store in a strip mall or a store inside a mall. What we'll do is we'll take their name and we'll come up with, like, something that matches that. Like, so you just said Game Cave.
Right.
So say, I don't, is Game Cave in a mall or anything like that?
It's in a strip mall.
A strip mall. So if Game Cave didn't make a good physical store, like, building, what we would do is we'd make a gigantic, like, cave that looked like there was a store inside of it and had, like, a skyscraper in it, and then, like, have the name Game Cave on it and stuff like
yes.
that.
You guys can see my face, right? I'm, like, grinning ear to ear.
Our bodies are ready.
Yeah.
We got this.
So can you give any details on how that contest is going
to
be set up?
Not yet. We are. We do need to launch that simultaneously to all the retailers, so that's one that has to go out, like, at once.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
That's amazing. So my personal final question for you.
Yeah.
So this year we've seen amazing games, things done. You know, you've seen games all over. So my question is, what kind of games do you enjoy? I know you read battle reports, you've probably seen the videos that are played.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what factions or what type of strategy games do you like watching? Like, do you enjoy hearing about, you know, what favorite casters or favorite factions do you like always like hearing about?
Of course, Minions. It's Hunger for
Yeah, so I was about to say.
No, I want to say.
So it's two steps. There's developer Hungerford, and then there's
the bee's knees.
There's Hungy. Okay, so developer Hungerford, I like just watching the meta and seeing the speed at which the meta is sort of evolving, what's changing, what's going on, talking to players about what's working for them, what's a problem, what are people scared of, and then watching battle reports, seeing how people overcome it. I was talking to somebody today who started running a Ragnar Double Mountain King list because he had a lot of Iona in his meta, and he was crushing people with that list. And I was asking him, what was he doing specifically? And we talked it out for a little bit. I like seeing things happen, like how last November, Animag was the end of the world.
Absolutely.
And now she's not. And the meta adjusted to her, and more things came out that adjusted, right? Like the Rise of Tharn definitely played part of that. And just keeping an eye on this and then determining where is we, because in a perfect world, I never want to have to step in. We don't want to step in and nerf things, right? Because that takes away something somebody invested in, but it might be good for the health of the game. So it's like watching with this sort of curiosity and learning and seeing what's going on and then determining, okay, when do we need to step in? When do we have an Una 2 situation? Where we need to fix this because it's causing a legitimate problem for the health of the game. And that's what I do. Like, that's my career. People ask me what I do for a living, what is my career, you know, what am I going to do for the rest of my life. I'm married to the tabletop game industry, and what I want is to work on stuff that always increases the player experience. What makes people's experience good? At this point in my career, I'm making the game rules, and I want to make sure that people have the best experience with the rules they can. So professionally, I like to watch battle reports for just the data.
Okay.
Hungy wants to see jank, and he wants to see people win with jank that should never win a game. Off hot dice rolls against some, like, meta crusher that is not. And specifically, I want to see minions. Like, I want to see, like, Carver and just a mess of brigands roll up into, like, Iona or, like, Makeda 3 and just dice them off the table. That's what I want to see in my life.
So in the history of all your games, of all the games you watch and everything else, what is Hungy's favorite game to ever talk about?
Oh my God. I've commentated on a lot of games. The one I remember most recently was War Machine Weekend last year. It was Iona winning on just one of the jankiest assassination runs. I was just screaming believe the whole time. Because I think he needed, like, unboosted nines and tens most of the time. And I was like, believe you can do this. And he did. And he won. And it was amazing. God, I think I'm trying to think of my favorite games I've ever commented on.
Because I've heard some fun games between, I know, Ellswick having games with you at LVO.
Well, okay, so that's not a game. Well, I watched. That was a game. So, me and Chuck Ellswick, I'm going to start a disclaimer. I will not do this to you if we play a game in public, whoever's listening. If I know you and I'm very friendly, we will have fun while we're playing. So, me and Chuck Ellswick were playing a game at LVO, and he killed one of my models, and he grabbed it, and he just kind of threw it off the table. And he's like, get that guy out of there. And I was like, all right. So I was like, I'm going to charge these guys. And he's like, which guys? And I just scooped the unit up, and I just threw them off the table. And I was like, those guys, I think they're dead. And somebody was watching, and they're like, got this, their mouths open, and they're like, what are they mad? Are they about to fight? And we were just being ridiculous after a while. And so we kept playing the game, and every time something died, we'd like scoot it around or slap it off the table. We flipped the death clock off the table, and no models got broken, no models got harmed. We were just being ridiculous.
That's my kind of game.
Oh, man. The bystanders, though, like everybody just watching, I could see the horror in their eyes.
That's even better. Like, you know what you're doing. Everyone else has no clue.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
That is hilarious.
You got to have fun. I mean, we're playing a game with we're grown people playing with toys that we paint up and we make believe with. And if we can't have fun with it, what is the point?
Exactly.
You know, I love competitive play, and I love a good tight game where we're trying to figure out this mental puzzle. Right, we're doing these mental exercises, and you're using strategy and tactics. I do love that, but at the end of the day, it's also fun just to chill, right, and be goofy, you know.
A little goofy
never hurt anybody.
All right, well, Hungerford, thanks for here. But,
whoa,
you know,
whoa.
But before we end up, hold on, I know.
Okay, all right.
So, don't worry, guys. Damon's like, look, Terrence isn't here. There's no one to beat up on. He wants his special time, too. So, all right.
Good, can I go?
Yeah.
Can I go? Okay.
All right, I'm ready. All right, so is this the big question you've been waiting to ask me?
No. Zero 2019 is my baby. That's what I wanted.
Okay.
But Isaiah kind of approached the subject. So, Hunger, you said your job is rules balancing, mm-hmm. making it where you don't have to jump in. Do you feel like there's somewhere you need to jump in right now?
There's some stuff we're watching right now.
You are?
Yeah, absolutely. I personally like to advocate giving the meta time to adjust.
Absolutely.
I know Iona, Lord of the Feast, Makeda 3 are all hot button issues right now. And they might need something. They may. And we're not ignoring them. We're not just be like, it's fine. You guys figure it out. Like, that's not okay. But at the same time, War Machine's not a card game. You can't just have a new set come out, sleeve up a couple new cards, and then all of a sudden the meta is able to adjust quickly. There's a time investment we have in miniature gaming where somebody's got to build models, paint them up, maybe, and then you get less reps in miniature gaming because our games take longer than you do in other games. So our meta revolves slower than other games. And so I like to usually give it a few months, maybe like sometimes 4 to 6 months, to see was there counterplay? Or people were able to figure this out, or is it a legitimate problem where no one is able to get around the problems? I mean, you've seen us do stuff to Haley 2 and Asphyxius 2 many times like that. So I'll tell you that, like, we're keeping an eye on them. We're watching the tournament results. We're also seeing what people are doing against it, how they're sort of rising to the challenge. And ultimately, if there's not great counterplay, and if it is degenerate for the game, we'll step in. I don't know that that's the case, but it's being very closely observed.
I appreciate it. I know what was formerly known as a War Machine and Horus discussion board
became the Lord of the Feast General.
Right.
Thanks, Chad Hotard. My buddy I go hiking and camping with all the time. It wasn't him. It was one of the other mods.
Yeah,
Chad messages me that didn't happen. He's like, oh God. And I'm like, what happened?
It has begun.
And he's like, it can't be reverted for 28 days. And I was like,
I think
I just messaged him back in all caps, you did this.
the responses in that group went from,
it kind of got heavy for a minute.
Yeah, and I do feel bad because, like I said, Chad wasn't the one that did it as a goof. It was one of the other mods, but he caught the brunt of it. And, like, he was having to, like, delete posts and jump in there. So,
like,
so
no.
Chad, if you're listening, you do a good job moderating the Facebook group. Keep it up.
Yeah, thank you very much. We love the group. We do. Yeah. We're in it all the time. Well, my last question was, so we're at Adepticon.
Yep.
It's where painting needs to happen. What are you painting up?
What am I painting up right now? So, actually, what I'm painting up right now is Monsterpocalypse.
Okay.
I've been using a lot of the studio and the company's models to play, like, battle reports and play testing. But it's time for me to get my own models, because I've been finishing up a lot of minion stuff. Like I hadn't finished up my Boil Master. I finished up my Barnards 2, my Husks. So I had to get all that stuff done. And we get a set amount of, like, free stuff as an employee, right? And there's, like, limits to it. And I've been accumulating for a while because, I you know, if I don't need something, I'm not going to pick it up, right? I'm not going to, like, just waste stuff and have a vault for no reason, right? I'd rather use that to let other people have it. But I'd accumulated for a bit. And I was like, I'm going to get Monsterpocalypse. I think I'm just going to get all of Protectors. Every model for the Protector side, some in, like, duplicate, and then, like, at least two of every building. So I'd have this, when I get back to the office, I'm going to have this huge box of Monpoc waiting for me, and then I got to just get to painting it. So I'll probably start with the pterosaurs, and then doing a couple of the buildings, and then move to the ninjas and do the guard last.
All right.
So, Humphrey, you will be at Gen Con? Yes, no?
Yeah, it should be at Gen Con. I think so. I'd hope so.
Maybe.
Hope so?
Yeah. Maybe.
Hey, no promises, but we got to get a game of Monpoc in.
Sure, yeah, man. I mean, it's also a neat, like, when you want to travel light, that's a great game to travel light.
Oh, yeah.
Battlefront Backpack, you're good.
And then Riot Quest, when it comes out, it's going to be even lighter.
Oh, my God.
That game is 5 to 10 models per player, period.
What is the ETA on the release of Riot Quest?
Around Gen Con.
Ooh. Jackpot.
Yeah, you might, maybe. There's no guarantee, but you might see it at Gen Con.
You might be able to purchase?
Maybe.
So what I'm hearing is save money.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And that game, see, so yeah, like I do dev with the rest of the team on War Machine. I do dev with the rest of the team on Monpoc, but Riot Quest, I'm lead design and dev.
Oh, this is your baby.
Well, it came, so Matt Wilson had this idea for the game and the concept, and he kind of like built the foundation and then was like, he handed it to me, and I was like, you know, and I was like, yeah, it was like a mad scientist, and I just like locked myself in a closet for like a month and came out, and I was like, here you go. And everyone who's been playing it internally has been loving it. And it's very different than anything we've ever done before. It's very, very simple to play. I could teach you the game in 5 minutes. You can play 1v1 or up to 4 players free-for-all. And I think this is the game that families will be able to play together. I think it's also going to appeal to... This is the game that if you're worried about people being too competitive in, I don't know how you can be competitive in Riot Quest. Okay. You can play a 1v1 game and you can make meaningful decisions. Like it's not just complete nonsense. But the game has so much sort of chaos and anarchy in it. And as a player, you're trying to control your little microcosm. You're trying to just survive as best you can. But every game is different. Like, the environment will change. The win conditions will change game to game. You never know how you're even going to win the game from game to game. And so, you know, the way I put it is you can't plan 4 or 5 turns ahead in Riot Quest. All you can do is when your turn comes around, you go, okay, what is happening right now? What can I do right now to score some points or make things better for me? And then it passes back to your opponent. And for a lot of people that get like analysis paralysis or like the larger strategic games, sometimes they're like, I don't want to do all that. Like, this is a quick, fun, 30-minute throw down on the kitchen table lunchtime game. But everyone who's been playing it, man, I've heard so many of my coworkers cuss in ways I didn't know was possible. Because it's that kind of game where you're playing and you're laughing and all of a sudden you're counting out the hexes and you're like, all right, how many squares away? 1, 2, 3, 4. And then you realize you're one short and somebody just starts yelling this bunch of nonsense. And, you know, it's that kind of just fun. It's a party miniatures game is the best way to put it.
Ooh, okay. That sounds interesting.
And every miniature that comes out for it, I also developed simultaneously rules for War Machine Hordes. So when those models come out, you will use them in Riot Quest, which is a completely different rule set, but then they're also going to get War Machine Hordes releases as well. So I think it's got a lot of value there for everybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing. Gen Con will be fun.
Yeah.
Apocalypse is going to be fun.
Yep. Oblivion. Seriously. God. Watch out for it.
Oh, dude.
Look, day of, I already told my group, look, once those drop, we're starting it. Be prepared.
Yeah.
It's going to run. and we're going to make all the posts. We're going to update it. We're going to love it.
Cool.
I really want to say thanks, Armin, for I know this is crazy for you guys when you take the time out to talk to us.
Oh, of course, man.
We're just two small guys. The third one's over there losing.
We don't even like that guy.
Look, man, Terrence, I hope after if you lost and this podcast comes out later, I'm sorry they did this to you. They put this evil on you. But if he wins, he's going to listen to this, and I hope the next podcast is just him laughing his ass off.
That's fair. Trust me.
Trust me.
It's going to be great.
No.
That's not going to happen, though.
Wow. Savage.
All right. This is this has been the Minority Report, guys. We appreciate you. Continue to support us. And once again, Hungerford, thank you for your time.
Of course.
And we'll
all right, guys. Have a great night. Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
This has been an episode of the Minority Report. Until next time, see you at the final table.